Amen. Father God, we just praise you and thank you, Lord, for allowing us to get together with one another and fellowship with you, Lord. And we ask that your presence be with us tonight, that your Holy Spirit would lead us and guide us, Lord. And I thank you for these wonderful times that we're fixing to come into, that your sons and your daughters would be out there doing the things that you'd have them to do, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to accomplish tonight. I thank you, Father, for hearing our prayers and answering our prayers in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for bringing down the deep state. I thank you, Father, for doing everything that would be detrimental to their work against the gospel and the enemy. Lord, I thank you for binding him up, helping us to get the provisions and all that's needed to bring about the gospel to all the apostates out there and all the ones that don't even know you, Lord. Because I know there's wonderful times coming where your anointing is going to be a revival anointing, a repentance anointing. And we praise you for that, Father. Glory be to God. It's going to be a wonderful time, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for all that you're doing and going to do. Lord, I thank you for your protection upon all of us during that time and encouraging us every step that we go, Lord. And I thank you for it. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that does lead and guide us all the way. And your word, Lord, that we rely on your word to speak the word at every opportunity. And we praise you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for the healings that are going to be done, the deliverances, the miracles, all of those things that come along with revival. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory be to God. All right. Anybody else got a prayer? I'm going to pray one more time. Lord, I just ask and I pray that the truth about Charlie Kirk would come on out about who did this. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. I think we already know, but I'd like to see it come out and be solidified by the authorities in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Well, Lord, I just thank you for your protection upon Donald Trump and his cabinet, all of them, Lord. And I just thank you for your protection. Your Psalm 91 protection upon all of your preachers out there that are doing the work that you have them to do, Lord. Not on their own, but utilizing your encouragement and your leading, Lord. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, who'll be next? Go ahead, Julie.
Father, I just want to praise you. Thank you, Father, for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for the release of all the hostages in Gaza and
Yes.
all the people that were reunited with their families. Father, we praise you for what you did there and even the peace that the peace agreements that are being made, Lord, and we live by faith. That there's more peace agreements happening, Lord, than even we know. And we pray for your peace. You're the Prince of Peace, Jesus, and we want peace in our own hearts. And that you keep us in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because we trust in you. I thank you, God, for bringing down our enemies and foreign and domestic, and you know who they are. I thank you and praise you, Lord, that this planned No Kings Day that they have for October 18th will not come to pass the way they think it will happen, but it will come to pass as you have planned and purpose. Lord, and for the betterment of your people, Lord, and to bring an end to this terrorist attack, this Antifa, internal domestic terrorism, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for bringing it down, exposing all who's behind it, who's funding it, and why. I thank you, God, for protecting Donald Trump, his family, his administration, and exposing all the evil that's been sent against him and the purposes that have been sent against him, even the slander that's being said even right now, and what they're trying, what the leftists are trying to do to get people to, I can't remember how it was worded, but how they say he is exercising his authority and power that he doesn't have a right to, which is totally wrong. And we thank you, Lord, for bringing down the resistance and the rebellion and the anarchy that's against the Constitution of the United States and the powers that be, that they're going to be brought to justice, your justice, Father. We thank you that you are in sovereign control over these things. Thank you, Father, for keeping children safe during this time. Thank you, Lord, for bringing down these Satanists, that they're bound. Thank you, Father, for keeping a hedge of protection around these innocent children. Whatever you have to do to keep them home and not so they don't get abducted in any way, Lord, and harm to come to them. People do so many things in ignorance, Lord, and I thank you for maybe just changing the weather, whatever, so that there is no trick or treat on the nights that they have trick or treat. Actually, it's on a Friday, so Lord, I just pray for a lot of rain, a lot of bad weather. They'll keep kids home from trick or treating, that they won't be able to go, in the name of Jesus. And it's not just that day; it's the days before that, leading up to, because they need sacrifices. And we just command all that to come to a huge failure in Jesus' name, that they're not going to have what they think in Jesus' name. Angels, protect the children, protect the innocent ones, Lord, and open up the eyes of the undiscerned and the ignorant, Lord, families that celebrate this holiday and glorify darkness and Satanism, and they do it not knowing what they do. Father, forgive them. And we just thank you for hearing our prayers, Lord, and all things regarding your children, that they would have an awake, people would just have a wake-up call about all of the statistics that are out there of not just during Halloween, but just all the abductions of children, missing children. They don't just go missing, God. I thank you, Lord, for saving them and bringing them back home to their parents and loved ones, Father. And I thank you, Lord, for exposing Halloween for what it is. I bind that spirit of Halloween. I bind those the curses, the spells, the bewitchments, the potions, the enchantments, and all the things that they conjure up during this time of year, the witches, the voodoo priests, the warlocks, and all manner of evil to get power from darkness, in Jesus' name. I loose the angels to set the captives free, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. All right, Missy, did you have your hand up?
Actually, I was gonna want to share something, but something came to my mind to pray about. I saw where Melania Trump, through her talks with Putin, got eight children released, and supposedly there's 19,000, supposedly 19,000 children that the Russians have. Through this war of the Ukrainians. And right away, my thought is
19,000 Ukrainian children, or these ones that they have saved from the tunnels?
that's what I'm thinking. They're saying they got them from Ukraine. But my thought is a lot of those kids, and they're not saying, and I pray, that's my prayer, Lord, bring the truth out that those children were not kidnapped. I don't believe that they were kidnapped. They were rescued. And I pray, Lord, that the truth comes out about that and they do get returned to their rightful parents wherever they are in the world. because I don't believe that they're all Ukrainian kids. And so, Father, we just send forth the angels to bring that about, however that looks, to bring the truth out about it, and bring to justice, get evidence, bring to justice or whatever, those who did this, Lord, that the world, the whole world will know in Jesus' name. And thank
Amen.
you, Lord. Amen.
Setting those babies free. Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's a lady. I just got through seeing one on the internet a while ago. A lady had a wreck on top of a bridge, and it threw out her 14-month-old baby into the river 25 feet down. And this guy didn't even hesitate. He jumped out of his car or truck, or what he was in, ran across the road, jumped in there, and saved that baby.
Praise the Lord.
He got the water out. The baby was just floating, but it had water in its mouth. And when it first went down, it came back up. It popped back up. Lord brought right back up and saved that baby's life. Glory to God. He didn't want any accolades or anything like that until the news kept pestering Thank you, Lord, for men like that. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, I don't think Putin stole any babies at all. I think what he did was probably turned a bunch of them loose from that tunnels, those tunnels that they've captured over there. All right, Vanita, go ahead.
All right. I just want to praise the Lord for on what is today, Tuesday? On Thursday, you played that video of that man whose son had died, and he was praising the Lord, and he had the prophecy that, kept him going. And what a timely video. My goodness. We had a pretty rough weekend, and Frank wasn't feeling very well, and it was just a mess. It was really stressful, but I just was able to praise the Lord through the whole thing after watching that video. I just had the right posture, and the Lord just gave me grace and just gave me the strength I needed to get through it.
Praise God.
And he also, my mom talking to my mom and my daughter through the whole thing. And, every time they called, my mom was so worried and like, what about this? And what about that? I'm like, Mom, it's all fine. Don't worry. It's all going to work out fine. So just to be able to give her that confidence and just to, show her that I have faith in the Lord that I worship and praise. And it's not just words, it's like, I really do believe it, Mom. He's going to take care of everything. So just to be able to share that with her, and he's working it all out. So I praise the Lord for that. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Yeah, that was a good film about that pastor. Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, I just wanted to pray, Lord, we ask that you would bring forth a spirit of desire for truth in the current voting population that votes for Democratic candidates. And Lord, that you would open up the eyes, their eyes, and bring them into a place of desire to seek peace and truth and the removal of hatred, and to be able to see for the first time that those that perpetrate this hatred and this constant vicious attack upon other people, that it is vindictive, it is harmful. Lord, I would ask that you would bring out that logic of the law and of believing and trusting in the protection of the law in these cities, especially these places like Chicago, that is absolutely contrary to law and order. And they are, and that the leadership there in that city is absolutely and completely against law, protection of citizens, protection of property. They are absolutely against that. And Lord, I'd ask that you would open up the eyes of the voting public to see that and start to bring forth pressure upon these people and get them out of office in these various places. Lord, just allow the logic of your Holy Spirit just to cover these people and open up their eyes. And Lord, we thank you for that. We bind those spirits of anarchy. We bind those spirits of faction and Marxism and hatred and murder. We bind those spirits right now, and we command them to leave. We command them to leave Chicago, to leave Illinois. We bind them from being able to manipulate any more politicians. We take that ground right now in their hearts. We send forth the Holy Spirit to cover those places, to remove that ground in their lives, to expose that which is evil and turn hearts to repentance and bring forth a spirit of repentance in that state and in that city of Chicago. Lord, we just thank you for opening up eyes. We know, Lord, that you have put the love for truth in people's heart. If they haven't been deceived and threatened to turn away from it. So we thank you, Lord. We ask you to work out that love for truth and desire for truth in people's hearts in that area in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it. Thank you for the victory that you have given us in Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just ask that you change out the government up there from this crazy anarchist like Pat was talking about into a conservative type government up there. In Jesus' name, put it in the people's heart to vote conservative this time. They ought to be sick of the crime and all of that, Lord. Okay. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. All right. I hear they're fixing to go to Memphis if they hadn't already, aren't they? Going there and clean that place up. Memphis, boy, when they have to go up to New York, they're gonna have to call out the Marines for that. All right, who's next?
Need to call down the angels. That's what we need to do.
There you
They
go.
need more than the help of man. They need the
Yeah,
angels. Thank you, Lord, for bringing down
absolutely.
the angels to help ICE do everything they need to do to clean up these illegals and these terrorists and these people who are here to cause a lot of problems. We thank you for doing that for us, God, in your mercy. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your angels that do that. Go ahead, Benjamin.
This is just more of a question about how you Americans run your government down there. So, with each state, can you vote for how am I going to ask this? So, We have provincial elections where you can vote for the Conservative or Liberal or Green Party or whatever. Do you guys hold something like that, where it's like you have a provincial government, a municipal government, and you also have a federal government, and they can all be either Liberal or Conservative, or is it
Yeah.
all, yeah? Okay.
No, you can have a Democratic governor of a city and a Republican Republican mayor or vice versa, if that's what you're asking. Yeah. You can have different conservative liberal mayors across the state. The cities themselves get to vote on who they want as a mayor. In most cases, but places like Atlanta and Chicago and those places, the liberals have pretty much taken over, and I'm not sure that it's even a fair election anymore.
Yeah,
Yeah,
pretty
rigged.
much the kind of the same thing up here.
Yeah, there's a lot of instances of dirty voting going on. Dirty elections. Okay. Fraud. Yeah, just a bunch of crooks. If you'll hear Ben, if you'll take a look, all of the states that are run by blue Democrats have high crime rates and high all kinds of bad stuff.
I've seen it, yeah.
Yeah.
Even it's kind of, well, to me it's blatantly obvious, but obviously to the people that are living in it, they can't seem to put two and two together. I
No,
don't
I can't. I can't. Yeah, Andrew.
No, I was just wondering as to, let's say you take the mayor of certain cities that are blue. Do they say they're Christians?
Well, you can ask
You
a
know,
red
like,
one. You can ask a red one, they'll tell you they're Christian.
yeah, but you know, like, as opposed to being something else, you know, like most of the people I would still think that would call themselves a Christian because, you know, grandpa might have been one or something, or papa, you know. But,
Ahead,
you
Pat.
know, I was just wondering about that, you know.
Pat may have an answer here.
Well, we just had a president that said he was a Christian and he enjoyed reading out of the palms every day.
When
And
did he
so
say that?
I don't remember when it was.
Yeah, that's been some time ago.
Reading out of the palms. So. He
You know what
wasn't
he's
familiar.
reading out of now? You know what he's reading out of now?
What?
Real Good News. He's got a Real Good News book now that
Are you
he
talking
is
about
reading.
Biden? Biden?
No.
That's who I'm talking about.
I thought you were talking about the president we got now.
No, we had just had a president
Okay.
that, he made a statement that he read out of the palms. So,
Actually, I think he was trying to say Psalms, but you
he
know, you have to
absolutely was,
expect
but
that
that tell
because.
he
Yeah, you know,
absolutely
like
was,
I
but.
had a guy at work that thought the book of Hebrews was Old Testament. So, you see, they just don't know anything, you know, and that's just the way it is, you know, and they want to make it as if they're in the know of these things too, you know. So that's something we have to look at to pray against, you know. That, you know,
Yeah.
I was just thinking about Third John, you know, Dio Trafes, I think his name is, in Third John, and he's prating against us with wicked words, but he's in the church. You know, Dio Trafes, there's Demetrius is the good guy, Gaius is in there, and of course John the Apostle. He would throw all them out of his church. It goes to show that even back then they had some of these problems in the church with people that came up with their own ideas. Of course, he was a Nicolaitan. You can see it right there in the writings. But there's a lot of people like that, They're December decoration Christians. They're going to put the lights up on Parliament Hill this year. They're going to do it on your Capitol Hill. Everyone will be happier now, but they did it when Biden was president. So, people really have to think sometimes, People really have to think about who they're talking with. I remember conversing with a person at work. Do you know what your soul is? Do you know how it works? Can you tell me a story on maybe how it works, And it's a four-letter word. Do you know what the meaning of it even? And they don't know these things, let alone Palms and Hebrews is an Old Testament book, So it's kind of sad because these people, how old is he? How old is this person, that's talking to you too? Is he a teenager? Maybe a teenager might say something like that, But it's a sad ordeal. Anyway, I just wanted to bring that up.
Yeah, it's what's really sad is you could go down on the street and ask everybody down there, almost every one of them, if you ask them, are you a Christian? And almost every one of them, now down here in the South, almost every one of them would tell you, yeah. What church you go to? And they'll look around, try to find a church to point out to you. I had one do that to me. I said, what's the name of it? He said, well, I don't remember what the name of it is, but that's the one I go to. But anyway, yeah, everybody's a Christian down here. This, of course, is what we call the Bible Belt. And it's actually pretty sad. Pretty sad. But God's fixing to change that. Praise God.
Praise God. Yeah, that's what we want. If anyone can change it, it's only him.
Yeah.
He's the only one who can call them. He's the only one who can correct them. He's the only one,
Yeah.
get rid of these deal trapeze guys and put in the Demetrius
Yeah.
or Gaius or and John,
Yeah.
put a new fivefold ministry, new witnesses. Get them all cleaned up, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Lord, just this revival that's coming up is going to change a lot of that. I believe this is going to be an upswing in Holy Spirit baptism coming up during this revival. There's a lot of these non-spiritual, fleshly churches that are going to change. Some of them won't, but some of them will. A lot of them will. You know why? Because they're going to see the power of God demonstrated by his people that are filled with the Holy Spirit. And they're going to be preaching, be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the way you make it. That's the power that gives you the opportunity to beat the flesh. All right, Missy.
Can I read a little bit of a piece of out of Fox's Book of Mortars? It's just a little interesting tidbit in here.
Foxes, how much?
Fox's Book
Oh,
of
foxes. Oh,
Mortars.
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Okay. I'll just read this tiny little piece here. His name is John Hewitt, and they were asking him. He says, "Do you believe it is really the body of Christ born of the Virgin Mary?" His accusers insisted. No, he says, and they say, "Why not?" Because Hewitt replied, Christ commanded me not to believe all men who say, Behold, here is Christ and there is Christ, for many false prophets shall arise. And I thought, boy, how clever. I never heard of it being put that being one way of looking at here is Christ and there is Christ. They're trying to say that the sacraments were, the true body and blood of Christ. And I thought that was so cool, I never heard that it was taken that way before, like here's Christ and there's Christ, I thought, wow, that's very interesting, that he applied that scripture to that, I was like, wow. I just wanted to share that. I kind of had to laugh about it when I read it. I was like, wow. So, yeah, a lot of crazy stuff out there. It still amazes me reading this that most of it, well, I'm on page 64, but it's like most of it is all about Catholics or the ones that have persecuted and killed, the true Christians because they didn't want to believe in their screwy doctrines of demons, and they could never, they never had proof for their,
Are you saying
oh.
that the Catholics are the ones that burn them and killed the Christians?
Yeah,
Okay.
most of
Yeah.
everything that I've read so far, it's mostly Catholics that's done that. And
Yeah.
I knew they that that it was I knew that they had done a lot of horrible things, but when you get down and read it, it's like, oh my gosh, it's like it's no different than back in Jesus' days. But it's the religious people that were the biggest persecutor of the Christians, It's just it's amazing. God's so-called people, the Jews, were the biggest persecutors and who killed the Christians, mostly, just crazy.
Amen. Yeah, Andrew.
Yeah, you see, prating against us with wicked words. Some of the dialogue between Jesus and the Pharisees was the same as that. And then, of course, when everything changed after the cross and resurrection, then you had the disciples that had the prating against them too. And then it came into the church. You got some people there who said they were church, and they were wrong in their ideas and taking leadership when they weren't supposed to, and they did the same thing as the other guys who misspoke and mistreated Jesus and the apostles, and then it got worse and worse, so what we have today. And when you look at the leaders, it's not just leaders that are supposed to be clergy in the pulpits, but it's supposed to be the pulpits of the nations too, because they've been exposed to these words, bombs, how come he doesn't know? He's got white hair, he's an elderly man, he should know some things before he wants to speak about them. And they just don't have that desire, I think, to fear the Lord anymore. And that's something that will always be around. So, and you can see it right up through to the end of the book of Revelation. So, it's a big change. And of course, some people have to be delivered from that church, and then they find themselves having to be delivered from the errors of the other churches. So, It's what I observe, I've observed anyway. So, and of course, we want the proper behavior always. You don't speak ill against someone. It's like you take that verse and that I said a few times about fretting against us. But it's there in Romans 13:10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. So they're missing out on the fruit of the Spirit, let alone the gifts of the Spirit, and then the blessings of the Spirit, and it's a sad case. They don't read the Bible in that church. And if you're coming from that kind of background and you don't have any example for you need to understand that they need the basic example, even to know that Hebrews is a you have to go and tell them, yes, you do know some scripture verses, because they're still griddle that Lord's Prayer into them all the time. That's all they might have. Then you have to tell them, look, it's here in the book of Matthew. Really? They'll state stuff like that, it's or they'll say, I believe the scripture too, and from cover to cover, and they all do that. And I'm not saying I know everything, but the Lord opens things to you every day, like even when they were caught in the book of Acts, John and Peter, they were beaten. Not only did they have the wicked words, but they were beaten and told not to speak in his name. So, there's more of that, Anyway, it's an ongoing thing, people. It's just so heightened today. So much more of it is today, and we always want the Lord to take over on these things, because He is sovereign over all things. He knows when there's a gold coin in a fish's mouth, and that's why He knows that guy who dived off the bridge. He set that up. He made sure there was a man capable of doing that, and for strength and vitality. So he knows how to do things.
And it was
Praise
cold
God.
too. Amen. Hey, do we have all knowledge? Do we have all knowledge? Yes, we do. We got all knowledge. Right there is all knowledge. We have access to it. When we put that in us, we have knowledge. Glory to God. Are you gonna have all
Yeah,
knowledge? I
and we
sure
got
do.
a
Go ahead.
Yeah, and he'll remind us of it too, because he told us he would send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who teaches us all things in his name and reminds us.
That's
So,
right.
it pops in your head for a reason.
Absolutely.
Praise God.
Sure does. Go ahead, Pat.
Believe it or not, when Andrew was talking there, I turned to this that verse that he was referring to before that, because I was thinking about the hardness of the, well, here's the example, the hardness of heart. After Peter and John were taken by the Sanhedrin, they said, then Peter filled, I don't remember what the, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but said, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders, if we this day are examined concerning a good deed to an impotent man, by what means this man is made whole, be it known unto you all, excuse me, to all the people of Israel, that In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even in him doth this man stand before you whole. He is the stone which was set at naught by you, the builders, which is made the head of the corner, and none, and in none other name, in none other is there salvation, for neither is there any other name under heaven that is given among men wherein we must be saved. Then it says, now when they beheld the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man that was healed standing with them, they could say nothing about it. Now, you would think normal people would say, whoa, this man was what, I don't remember if he couldn't see or he, I think he couldn't walk, if I'm remember, I didn't go back and read it. But this man was healed before him. You would think they would say, whoa, I mean, this guy was healed simply by words, but they didn't. They, when they had commanded them to go outside of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do with these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been wrought through them is manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. What they were saying is, we got to figure out a way to deny this and discredit this thing in some form or another. They weren't able to receive it. And obviously, you know, all through the scripture and the gospel, you know, they after a miracle or whatever they got that Jesus performed, they got together and decided, hey, you know, we got to kill this guy in some form. We got to kill him. This is not good, you know. And I go right back to the reason they could not perceive. They could not perceive. They couldn't receive what was happening there because of the very fact that when it says in that verse up above that I read, then Peter filled with the Holy Spirit, and these rulers of Jerusalem and of the religious enterprise of that day had not heard the, they did not have the Holy Spirit. And, you know, the scripture obviously says that the Holy Spirit is given that we might have the perspective of the Father in us. And these rulers did not have that perspective, and the only thing they could do was function in accordance to the old covenant, their perception of the old covenant relationship with God. And obviously, without the Holy Spirit, they could not perceive the truths and the reality that these unlearned men dwelled in and raised a person that had been you know lame for years and years. So, and quite frankly, that hasn't changed because there is a major portion of what we call Christianity in the earth today that have not received the Holy Spirit. They've received a doctrine and they've received teaching and they've received many wise teachers, so to speak, and they've received a lot of things, but they haven't received the Holy Spirit. Their perspective is skewed. And those So it is the same environment now that it was then, except it may be worse than what it was then, because there it was localized. But anyway, I just thought it was just as you read through these examples and see the hardness of their heart when a notable miracle was performed, and they had to figure. The first thought was, we got to figure out how to discredit or eliminate this thing, you know? So it's just, it boggles the mind to think about it.
Yeah. Well, it's the same thing today, too. It's just the same thing, very same thing. We've got factions in the denominations. Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, there is the certain verse there in Hebrews that says, today, if you shall hear, the Holy Spirit saith, today, if you shall hear his voice, and harden not your hearts. You know, and I thought of that, and at least they registered that they had boldness, and that's boldness in Christ, in whom it even says that in Ephesians 3:12, in whom we have boldness, access with confidence through his faith. And it's so wonderful that you can get definitions for what boldness is too. Because, I think a lot of us are a lot of timid people too, and because you sometimes you want to say something and you go, well, how are they going to take this, and we know that they have to be saved first, but where's the drawing to save them too, there needs to be some sort of drawing, I guess, and then after they're called, there has to be the drawing, and continue to grow in the Lord, just like it says in 1 John 3 and 1 and 2, now we are children of God. 11, now we are children of God, and it is not yet manifested what we shall be. But when he shall be manifested, we shall be like him. So, this is what we're all waiting for, to get that next, I don't know if it's the next step up to 60 and then 100-fold. But, we have very few people who understand that concept of the Holy Spirit saith, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. It's one of the three witnesses, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. So all those things that we're supposed to have are already finished, and we're supposed to have them, and we're supposed to do them, and we're supposed to function in us. And it gives you a reality check on where you are in this from the least to the greatest of them. So praise and glory to God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Okay, y'all want to hear a good song? I got one.
It stopped.
Did y'all hear it?
Yes, but then it stopped.
Well, I couldn't hear it. Hang on just a second.
in time, and so will be. But Lord,
y'all mind if I stop it? I can't hear it. It's not coming across on mine. Let me try something here.
Sounds like Elvis to me. You think it's
no,
Billy
I can't,
Elvis?
I can't hear it at all. Ah, that's why. Okay, now I can hear it.
Oh,
That's Elvis sounding good, isn't he? Woo. What is he? He's 80 something. Yeah. 85. What you got up there? 90? He's 90. He'd been through the med bed, I'm telling you. He's a med bed guy. I saw a deal just earlier today. I happened to run across it. It was a picture of Elvis and this lady now. She was old too, but it was a relative of his from when he lived in Memphis. He's a relative of his. Now, who you think that is? That's Elvis. Old Elvis. Blue. All right. Has anybody got anything else they'd like to share? We're getting up there. We're getting close to Christmas now. He'll be singing
Well, if you
that.
go in, if you go into the retail stores, I'm sure you're probably going to see it looking like Christmas already.
Yeah.
If you were to go into retail stores,
Going to where?
the retail stores.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I hope someday I get to go up there. It's not that far from my house. I keep saying that, but I hadn't been back home in a while. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to share? I've got something if you don't. Blue. Oh my, it's gonna be on my brain now.
Let's get you
Keep
another
going,
song.
Michael.
What's
No, let's get another song put in your head.
that? I know. I got something I want to read you out of Andrew Murray's God's Best Secrets. It's actually a what do you call those things when they have a January 1, January 2, and they go all the way through December the 31st? What do you call them things?
Devotionals.
A how much?
Devotion. Devotional.
Okay, that'll work for me. Yeah, but anyway, this is for January 1. I thought I'd it's really good. It's really good. It says second, it quotes 2 Corinthians 4:16. The inner man is renewed from day to day, way he put it. He said there is one lesson that all young Christians should learn, namely this, the absolute necessity of fellowship with Jesus each day. This lesson is not always taught at the beginning of the Christian life, nor is it always understood by the young convert. He should realize that the grace he has received of the forgiveness of sins, of acceptance as God's child, of joy in the Holy Ghost can only be preserved by the daily renewal in fellowship with Jesus Christ himself. Many Christians backslide because this truth is not clearly taught. They are unable to stand against the temptations of the world or of their old nature. They strive to do their best to fight against sin and to serve God, but they have no strength. They have never really grasped the secret. The Lord Jesus will every day from heaven continue his work in me. But on one condition, the soul must give him time each day to impart his love and his grace. Time alone with the Lord Jesus each day is the indispensable condition of growth and power. He says to read Matthew 11:23 through 30 and listen to Christ's word. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Learn of me, and you shall find rest into your souls. The Lord will teach us just how meek and humble he is. Bow before him. Tell him that you long for him and his love, and he will let his love rest on you. This is a thought not only for young Christians, but for all who love the Lord. And this book would fain help those who desire to live this life of fellowship with Christ. We will try to put the message as clearly, as lovingly, as urgently as possible. For Christ's sake, and in order to please him, for my own sake, and to enable me to enjoy this blessed experience each day, I will learn the lesson to spend time each day, without exception, in fellowship with my Lord. So will the inner man be renewed from day to day. You know, I've read a lot about the old powerful saints. To the T, every one of them always set aside time each day to only fellowship with the Lord. Whether it be an hour, 2 hours, 4 hours, whatever what it is. But every one of them, to the T, always set aside some time during the day for their fellowship with the Lord. Most of the time it was first thing in the morning. But a lot of times it wasn't too, but most of the time it was. So is that something we all do on a regular basis, daily? That was a good answer. Go ahead. Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, you know, sometimes I'll hit the snooze button a few times and I'll be having my conversation with the Lord when I wake up in the morning, you know, and he starts it sometimes. And I'll just keep going, you know, like I had a nice restful time, and he'll speak to me about things, and I'll ask him questions, like just the same questions that I bring up here, you know, and I just ask him about all the things that are so wrong and stuff. And, you know, it's like therapy for me, you know, to talk to him. And he just, you know, he reminds me, you know, now, Andrew, these are fruits of the Spirit. You know, you have to get these things at my discretion for you to be fruitful, to have the proper behaviors. And even when you need him the most, when something's happening, you know, and, you know, we need that fruit of the Spirit all the time to be functioning in us. And, you know, it's good. It makes you surrender, I think. That's I think, the initiative as to why you want to do that, because it'll just make you surrender to him when you're talking to him or when he just starts talking to you. I like it when he wakes me up in the morning. You know, because it's more snooze too. You know, it's like, I can't say I'm not fully awake, but I'm kind of half asleep, you know. I just keep my eyes kind of closed and speak to him. Sometimes I'll speak loud, and sometimes I'll just speak in my mind, because I want my mind really trained instead of that other temptation coming all the time. I want the Jesus to speak into my mind, and his presence of the Lord to talk with me and just counsel and just help me, you know, cast all your anxieties upon him, because he cared for you, for all your cares upon him. You know, he said he was going to come to you. You know, I'm not going to leave you orphan. I'm going to come to you. That's what it says there in the John, the book. And so just let him, you know, you want to hear from him. He's much more appealable to hear from, you know. I mean, if he's reminding you of things, come on, you know. We need to him all the time. we need to be attentive to them all the time. My mind wanders too, you know. I go, let's go for a walk, Jesus, and then I forget about him sometimes, you know. And then you just go, what am I doing? What am I thinking about here, you know? And then you get back in tune, you know. And, you know, just when you go for a walk on a nice day and, you know, you always want him near, close by, and always his presence. You know, you are blessed with the presence of the Lord. And of course, the other side is trying to take that away from you. Even if you're not going to do anything, you know, they'll. And if we know things, then of course we're the ones that the dark side is going to want to attack, you know. And so I am thankful for the people's prayers and to lead us, to guide us. You know, is a wonderful thing to hear from the Lord, to know what to do. Yeah, it was much easier when I was younger, and he used to just speak clearly to me, you know. And yeah, praise God. He's still there, you know. He still speaks. Still small voice, and I like when he wakes me up in the morning and we start to have a talk. You're muted, Michael.
I said, well, you know, you said you go out and walk. Well, that's when I do my biggest talking with the Lord, is when I go walking and praying and talking with him and sitting down at times, listening. Or he could be talking to me while I'm walking. He does that often. But I guess the most productive time is when I sit in this chair over here and wait on the Lord. You know, it seems like the more that you do that, the more of the spiritual experiences that you have in your daily walk. I know I like to pray in tongues a lot. That's another thing we ought to do is pray in the Spirit quite often. A lot of things. Being with the Lord. And like you, Andrea, I want to be able to talk like Jesus, to think like Jesus. Those things to come forward.
Yeah, it's all his anyway, Michael. His heart, his mind now. You know, sometimes we mess up too sometimes, so. You know, like he bought us with a price, and I just want the proper perspectives on where I'm at and what he's doing with me. And I just want to love the Lord all the time. You know, I want to obey.
Amen.
I want to.
That should be everybody's striving to do that. We should all strive to allow the Lord to work in us. We have the mind of Christ. We've got the mind of Christ. We should be thinking like the Lord. We do that by putting the Word in us. Anybody else got anything on spending time with the Lord. I know we've talked about this before, but it just seems like it keeps coming back. Yeah, Debbie.
I know the Lord wants me to bring this to talk about this. I've been really struggling with that lately, and I don't know. I feel like this. I feel like it's not just only my flesh. I feel like there's a force that is poking on my flesh, like, and moving me to, you forgot you were going to do this. You're going to spend time with the Lord, but now you're doing this, and I went through that today, and I finally got down before the Lord, finally, and I was telling him exactly that. I said, God, what is this? I feel like I'm trying to be pulled away from you, and I really feel that. It's like I'll let him know that I'm going to spend some time with you, Lord, and I'll go in the kitchen and get a glass of water and put it back on the sink and see all the dishes and start washing the dishes and things like that. It's like, but not only that, the Lord is right there saying in my ear, I'm still waiting. Are you coming? Things like, why would that not you want you just to run to him? When he speaks, he says, come, and like, I just want prayer. I really want prayer because I'm really struggling with that. And I don't know why don't know why I shouldn't be. There's no need to because I want to be with the Lord, but I've just been, like I said, I've been feeling like I think a lot of it is the enemy, working on my flesh and I maybe be giving in, but it's like, sometimes I don't realize what I'm even doing and what am I doing this for? I was going to spend time with the Lord. And it's like, it's kind of got me down. And so I just like prayer.
Okay. Yeah, we all fall into that. I caught myself the other day doing the same thing. I don't want to wash the dishes. What am I doing down here washing stupid dishes for when I can be up there with the Lord? But anyway, yeah, we break the power of the flesh off of us right now in the name of Jesus. We command you to go hide somewhere because you're not allowed in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, that the flesh is defeated. We're overcomers in you, Lord. And we thank you, Father, that you have placed a love in our heart for you that cannot be satisfied with nothing but being with you. And I
Jesus.
thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. And I praise you, Father, that everybody here that has been attacked with that fleshly steering away from the Lord,
Yes.
you're overcomers right now in Jesus' name. Yes, draw us and cause us to run after you, Lord. I believe it. Thank you, Julie. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, that you have already done it. We're filled with your Holy Spirit and we can hear him. Oh, my gracious. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Glory be to God. All right. Anybody else want to pray? Yeah, Julie.
Oh Lord, I just pray that you fill us up with your Holy Spirit. You give us all a fresh anointing of your Holy Spirit, Lord. Pour down on us fresh oil, anoint us, and draw us and keep us abiding in you. Help us, Lord, to overcome our flesh, the mind of the flesh, the distractions of whatever it is that we may face. And it could be anything. And I know that it's not by our works that we're saved. It's not by being good enough. It's not by, trying and trying and all these things. Lord, you've already given us the victory. And I thank
Yes.
you, Lord, that we can see the end in view, that we see Jesus in the mirror. You see our hearts and you see us overcoming all of these adversities. And I just praise you, God, that you don't give up on us and you're not throwing us away and you're not going to change your mind. And you're helping us to change our minds and to put you first and to say no to everything else. And it's easier said than done. And Lord, we can't do it of ourselves, but we can do all things through Christ Jesus, who strengthens us. Help us every day in your strength, Lord, to put on the full armor of God. Get our minds straight and get our minds stayed on you. Get our minds and our hearts lined up with your word, and that we put you first and that we desire you first, and that you're our love. And there's nobody more important, and everything else can wait. But there's no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that we do have tasks that we have to do. That doesn't mean we do them without you. Lord, you're in our hearts, and you're right there in the kitchen with us when we're doing dishes or vacuuming or washing clothes or going on our walks or whatever it is we're doing. We don't ignore you. And you're right there with us. And I know there's times where we just want to set everything aside, though, and just get away from the duties of whatever it is, and they all can wait. They really can wait, and they'll get done when they get done. So thank you, Lord, for giving us that grace to do it and the faith to do it, and blessing us, Lord. And we thank you. You love us. You love us, and you want to speak things to us. You want to show us things in your word, and you want to reveal yourself to us in more detail and more intimate time with you. Lord, you're the lover of our souls, our heart. We belong to you. And we just want to be faithful with our time, and really do just your bride just loves you, Lord, and help us to be seeking you earnestly these days. Father, in the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Yes, Lord, you gave us dominion over everything, and our flesh is part of it. And I thank you, Father, that we're taking dominion over it right now. In Jesus' name, you will bow down to the Lord Jesus Christ and leave our time with him alone in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for cleansing our mind of all of the garbage in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Woo-hoo. Yeah, Andrew.
You know, Michael, last time you read out a list of things of who we are, you know, and I wrote down this song called Blessed Assurance. I don't know the words to it, but you know, it's kind of telling you who you are, you know, like if you want to do the dishes. Some of you are really musical, you know the songs and everything, so you might as well just be praising the Lord and saying thank you to him for all that you are anyway. So you know, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine, you know, and oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, you know, heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of the Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song.
Awesome.
Great. Praising my
Savior
Savior
all
all the
the
day long, you know, and perfect submission, you know, is the next stanza, you know, and that's kind of like surrendering, you know, and you get all the verses popping into your head too about this, you know, the pearl of great price or something, you know, and praise and glory to God. And it shows, it's a lot. It's a lot. Like, I wish I had this tune right down in my heart, and that I'd be able to sing it whenever I needed to. You know, I have other tunes, you know. I like some of the old tunes there. And isn't that not what it says, that you should have a melody in your heart
Yeah.
and psalms in your heart? Not palms, but psalms. Okay. You know, even a portion of the word, even, you know, should we always not be hungering and thirsting after righteousness shall be filled, you know, and you could plateau, but you know he's going to give you more. It's not finished till we're there in our new body, so that's when we can rest. And I even think we'll still be taught stuff up there too, so a whole bunch of new stuff to learn because we got a new body now.
Amen. Yeah, Debbie, go ahead. It weighs hard to hear you when you're muted.
I'm sorry. It's just not that we want to be with him, but I want to spend time with you. We know we want to spend time with you, Lord, and we're hard, and you're with us when we're doing this and doing that. But he wants us to put things aside and spend. That's what I'm trying to get at with about me, to put things aside and meet. He wants to spend time with me. Not it's he's calling me. He wants us to get away and spend time with him. He wants us, and he knows. Maybe we want him, but maybe we're sometimes he knows we're not really showing it because I like not getting away from things quick enough to spend that time with him when we know he's wanting it. He's wanting us at a certain moment, And just to be very alert for that of his wanting us. He's wanting to spend the time with he wants to hear us, not just us want to be with hear him. He wants to hear us so he can speak back to us. And anyway, just it's a lot of it is him wanting us, to not ignore
Well,
that.
Debbie, at least he's making me aware of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, some people don't even get that, So, maybe that's what he says when he says, I will not leave you orphan, I shall come unto you. And we just, I don't know if we have to just get really focused or ready the next time it happens. Praise God. Glory to God. I pray that everyone would get ready for it if it ever happens to them. To just, I don't know, go to the bathroom or something and make time in there. Go to the least distraction room, And
Right. That's good.
I would love to have that, And I pray the Lord would call us all to spend that time with him. And he'll know when to do it most efficiently for us, whatever time. Even if he has to keep you up all night, I don't know. I don't think he would want you to do that, Yeah, because he'll let us slumber at night because we need our rest too. Praise God, And either that or he can give you just a wonderful dream or vision at night too, Or pop some words in your head during the day and pop some when you really need them because there's an attack or something from people around you or from words around you. So praise and glory to God. Amen. He'll never leave us nor forsake us so that we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And we had an example of boldness in the scriptures on Peter and John. And of course, they all had boldness, Some of them were even tired. The young lad in the third floor rafters was tired. Even if you're tired, he's going to be with you while he was coming down from And of course, Paul knew what to do, The fellowship of people to be actually there in the presence of all our lovely brothers and sisters would be a wonderful thing to have always. I know that sometimes if you want to be alone, that's good too. Jesus wanted to be alone with both his father, and sometimes he wanted to be with all his disciples too, That's why you just get in the boat and go across because Father has a plan. I don't quite know what it is yet, but I'll just come walking on the water to you later. And that's what happens, Or, I'm going fishing, I'm after that fish with the gold coin in his mouth, And I'm going to pay my taxes, I'm gonna go I'm setting it up, I'm going to make a sheet come down. You're going to go see Cornelius tomorrow. I'm going to go diving in the river off the bridge. Let's not have that for me, Lord. I don't think I can do that. There's plenty of capable people, And He uses people like who don't know God too, like Nebuchadnezzar, and it's just we look for that time when he's presented something or made the path for us or presented us with a pathway to do something. And sometimes we go our own way and do it, but he knows how to shepherd his sheep and get them back on course. I think you'll do that wonderfully for us all. He'll rescue a person. He'll go look for the one who went astray and leave the 99. Don't go astray, We don't go astray, We're in his group. We're in his family. We have him as our closer to us than a brother. I guess that's a good one. I'll come unto you. So, because he's close, his presence is there at all times. We want to converse with him a lot. I'm glad I'm able to maybe hope encourage some people here. I think I'm encouraging myself here. Praise God. Glory to God.
Amen. I put up here in the chat 2 Corinthians 10:5-6. That's what came to my mind as we were talking here, casting down imaginations and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being in readiness to avenge all disobedience when your obedience shall be made full. A lot of times what I've found in my life, and I'll say this, that I don't want a rambling mind. I don't want a mind that just goes off into another land, and I want it stayed on Christ. And I think that's mostly what we're talking about. God gave us authority over our mind. We have the mind of Christ. And when we focus on Christ, coming into days here shortly that you're going to have your mind focused on the Word of God to find out, to show the people who we are in Christ, what we are in Christ. We are Jesus walking on this earth. We're talking just like Jesus. We're walking like Jesus. We're instruments of his, bringing heaven to earth. And that's what's going to bring about this great revival we're fixing to go into. I think that's, I know that a lot of times we get distracted. We just have to take authority over that. I'm just as guilty as anybody else in here getting distracted. And I don't want that. I want to be focused more on him than I am anything else. Now we're doing it. We're all of us are working to do that, to that end, I should say. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Okay, Julie, where'd she go? Uh-oh. My orchestra leader left. We're going to play this song so everybody can settle into it.
Okay. Can you give me share permissions?
Oh, wait a minute. I need to pass this bucket. All right, let's see here. Okay, go ahead. I don't see nothing yet. Ah, there it is.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, ring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, Savior, all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. My Savior, am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my soul.
Glory to God. That's a good one. I remember that as a kid singing that song. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Joe, go ahead, brother.
Can I ask just a question about this time with the Lord? Lord used me up for every night, during the night for time with Him. Can I ask you, Lord, do any of that with you or not?
Was that a statement?
Run that by us again there.
Joe said that the Lord wakes him up at different times, like late at night, middle of the night, and he wanted to know if he does that with anybody else, to spend time with the Lord in the wee hours.
He has done it to me, but very rarely.
I've been there a couple times too, not lately, but
Generally, what he'll do, he'll wake me up to pray. And that's what I'll be doing most of the time. Anybody else? I don't think anybody raises Missy up. No, I'm just kidding you, Missy. Let's just pick on Missy now. No, okay. Oh my. You know, I've read a lot of John Lake stuff. The man believed a lot, like we do, of course, as we should. And but what Lake does, of course, is focuses on healing and how to attain that perfect record of healing people. And one of the things that he always espoused was to spend time with the Lord every day. I've got a little old deal up. I think I told you this before. The little deal that I wrote out here is the world has yet to see what God can do with a man fully surrendered to him. And I wrote underneath it, by God's grace, I want to be that man or woman. You could put it either way. Depends on if you're transgender or not, I guess. Oh, I'm just saying. But yeah, that's something we ought to be looking at. Fully surrender to him. What do you think that feels like to be fully surrendered to him, Andrew?
I would say that it's going to be a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
You're going to be in constant communion with the Father. It's going to be just lovely to be at that place with him all the time. You know, when you're in the zone with him, when in that short periods of times that we have now, but what can you imagine if it was like constant? And it's actually increasing as it's happening. We increase quickly when we came to UBM, but when he does this, you know, it's going to be fascinating. Praise God.
You're going to have, here's what's going to, here's where I envisioned, and we've all felt this before. If you've really been seeking the Lord, one of them is fear is gone. Fear is gone. But there is a boldness. And not only that, there'll be peace in your heart. There'll be no anxiety about anything. Nothing. Nothing will get you excited. You know what I'm saying? You'll be in that, like Andrew just got through talking about, you'll be in that zone.
You know, you wonder about it, and you go, you know, there's the verses where even the Almighty God and Father is present within us, you know, and you know, like, where else would you want to be? You know, it's you know, the love verse there. If any love me, he'll keep my word, and my Father, and we'll come together and make our abode with you. Come on now. It's wow, you know,
Yeah.
like the Father just working through you these things and doing it one after another, and you walking in the Lord constantly, no more distractions, no more worries. You know how excited we get when he does something, you know, and wow, that would be something wonderful.
Amen.
I guess you'd be close to heaven as you can be in this mortal flesh. Ah, praise God.
You know, Andrew, and everybody else, sometimes, you know, have you ever been just discouraged and maybe just kind of down? And you, oh my, you know, the whole world's coming against you and you feel like you got 500 pounds on your shoulder. And then all of a sudden, the Lord does something and breaks it all off. I'm telling you, you know, supernaturally, you'll have a vision or a word from Him or whatever. But He's always there to take it off. That is awesome, the way He does that. Yeah, Andrew.
You know, my grandson came over on Monday. It was Thanksgiving here in Canada. And you can relate because you're a father or a grandpa now. And that's what happens when dad, God the Father, shows up too, you know? And he wants the best for that little guy there, you know, and everything. And it's just so wonderful. Because, you know, even as an older brother would want this, like, you know, Ben was here too, you know, and he was having his time with Finn too. And he's kind of like an older brother for him too. You know, like he's just a baby. That's an innocent child there. Who knows how God could come into a baby's mind even. You know, praise and glory to God. Yeah.
Amen. Yeah, God is so good. And He keeps egging us on. He's kind of like a cheerleader out there too sometimes. You go, boy. Look at that boy down there. Glory to God. Jesus, you see that, you know, and you can just imagine God talking to Jesus up there. I can do that. Makes me want to get off here and go see Jesus. Yeah, it's almost time, isn't it? Praise God. What time is it where you are, Andrew? Is it 9:45?
Yep, 9:44.
Okay. Pat, you're about the same, aren't you? Yeah. Missy's not in a time zone. She's in a zone between the zone between the zone. Yeah.
I'm in the heavenly time zone, Michael.
The heavenly time zone. That's
so is
right.
Missy. So is absolutely. Everybody else.
Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord. Barbara, you got to hear it. You got to hear your song.
Thank you. I love that song.
Yeah, I do too. I like it myself. All right. Has anybody else got anything? I got a bunch of stuff, but you go ahead, Pat.
I had a question. I know we were talking about surrender and, you know, it's going to be great when God does such and such. And I guess I'm wondering whose responsibility is this surrender? I guess I'm not really wondering. I think it is my responsibility to whatever that surrender means. I'm just, you know, I'm thinking of the times or the thing, like in the in the scriptures, in some of those areas, like Ezekiel, I think 36, the end of the chapter there, where he says, I will leave, and I will be inquired of by the house of Israel to do this thing for them. So there's a element of our participation in that, and I guess that being clear, or having a clarity related to whose responsibility is it, where does mine end and the Lord's take up, and that sort of thing. So I was just pondering that thought or whatever. I don't really have anything to pontificate on here, but that was kind of a thought, and I'll just shut up. I think there's two hands raised there.
Okay. Go ahead, Julie. Thank you, Pat.
I guess what I was thinking, Mike, when you asked about what that meant about surrender to the Lord, or however you worded that, I guess what was coming to my mind was how Jesus humbled himself to be a servant and did everything that his father commanded him. And it, to me, it would be to serve him as he served, and not having a will of my own, but doing as the Lord leads me to do, putting other people first and not my own needs. And I've been thinking a lot about that here lately in the last couple of months because of what I've been, the position I've been put in with my neighbor. And I don't always, my flesh doesn't always want to have been doing the things I've been asked to do, or that just need to be done. And I see that they need to be done when somebody can't do it for themselves, just and there isn't anybody else to do it. I've really been learning what it is to love your neighbor as yourself. So I don't. I've been laying down my will, my wants, and the things I'd rather be doing, at times there are still things. I mean, I do have responsibilities and stuff, and my neighbor Fred has been really good about that, but there's been times where everything else had to stop, and he had to come first for things. So in that sense, that's kind of what it is to be surrendered. It's like, I don't have a will of my own, and I want to serve as Jesus served, laying down my flesh, my wants, my desires, and my will. And that's kind of what I've been reflecting on and meditating on a lot, talking to God about. So in a sense, I don't know if that's what you're meaning, Michael, but that's just where I'm at right now. And what I was thinking about that, about being surrendered, is it's not my will, but God's will first.
Amen. Well,
And
that's, the Lord in Genesis gave us dominion over everything. And most of the time we forget the main thing we ought to have dominion over, and that's ourselves. That's what we ought to have dominion over first. Go ahead, Missy.
I've been kind of going in places and spots in the book Predestined, Called, and Elect. And there's just this one piece in here that the very end of it's really good, but I need to read a little bit before that to I got in it because of what I was reading in the Bible, and it just was giving me like some questions or just wanting to revisit some things. But anyway, it says here, Psalm 65 and 4, blessed is a man whom you choose and cause to approach unto you, that he may dwell in your courts. The choice comes from God first. He causes us to approach unto him and dwell in his courts. You see, salvation from the curse in every form has already been given to us by faith. And so we need to pray to God to give us the grace to be what we need to be. We can't pick ourselves up by our bootstraps and go and do it. How many times have we heard that about the bootstrap thing? Anyway, Psalm 80 and 3. Tell us again, O God. I'm sorry. Turn us again, O God, and cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. So this is the prayer of a backslider. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. Let your hand be upon the man of your right hand, upon the son of man whom you made strong for yourself. So shall we go, I mean, sorry, so shall we not go back from you, quicken. And that's Hebrew word for cause to. Make alive, cause to live. Quicken us, and we will call upon your name. Turn us again, O Lord of hosts. Cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. And this part right here just really struck me. It takes the same grace to stay in God as it does to come unto God. What pleases the Lord is that we know and we pray as if we are totally dependent upon Him. What pleases the Lord is that we know and we pray as if we can do nothing without Him. God wants you to know that you are walking by grace. And it ties into what we're talking here, but what struck me too was is you know what he said there about staying in knowing and that we're totally dependent upon him. It's just like, you know, it just struck me as praying without ceasing. In other words, just talking to the Lord all the time about everything. You know, that's how it came to me. And it just I don't know quite how to describe it, but it just really struck me and really encouraged me. Of course it reminded me of I'm the vine, you're the branch. If you abide in me and I abide in you, you bear much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. So anyway, it just how he said that there just really, like I said, just it, pray without ceasing, always wanting to be with the Lord and always wanting to, you know, for me to be like a little child, dependent on Him for everything. And I think if I could, you know, just like Lord, help me to keep this in mind, you know, and then, you know, when you just totally set everything aside, you know, if you can have those come. If I can have those conversations with the Lord and just be talking to him all the time about whatever it is I'm doing, you know, help me do this, Lord. It's like sometimes I'll be in the middle of doing something and I just can't get something, you know. I'm like, help, Lord. Or I drop something for how many umpteenth time because I'm trying to carry too many things. Because I'm all about making one trip, not a bunch of trips. Anyway. And help, Lord. Lord have mercy, help. But anyway, it just if I can be having those conversations or you talking to him and asking for help about, you know, whatever it is I'm doing throughout the day, then when I just sit down and just have a when I have a fellowship with him, setting aside everything just to have a talk with him. I just think that that would just make it easier, if I'm just talking to him about everything through the day. So that's just my thoughts on it.
That's a good little old book too, by the way. Yeah. Page 99, it says the difference in the relationship between the Old Testament and New Testament people is that what Moses saw in a shadow, we see in manifestation. We can come to know God face to face. Ooh, glory to God. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Debbie.
Okay. I was wondering if I can share a song. This reminded me of what she said. Cynthia said a sentence about our phrase, but I surrender. So, but I, Lord gave me a song many years ago about, it's called I Surrender. So can I sing
Yeah, go right ahead. Need some help?
it? If you know it, but you probably don't. Yeah, I'd love to sing it. Okay. Lord, I surrender my life to you in all I say and in all I do. I'll follow where you lead, for you're all I need. Lord, I surrender to you. Lord, I surrender my life to you in all I say and in all I do. I'll follow where you lead, for you're all I need. Lord, I surrender to you. Oh, I'll follow where you lead, for you're all I need. Lord, I surrender. Lord, I surrender. Lord, I surrender to you. I surrender. To
That was nice, Debbie. Thank you.
Thank you. Amen. Thank
That's
you.
a beautiful song.
Amen.
Michael, we can't hear a word you're trying to communicate to us.
It was good, Julie. It was so good.
Would you mind
Oh,
repeating it?
no, I can't remember. Anyway. Anyway, we're out of time. Lord, thank you for what we've gone over tonight. It's a reminder and an encouragement to all of us to take dominion over this old self of ours and to do what you want us to do, Lord. Thank you, Father, for talking to all of us tonight in Jesus or whatever time it is, wherever anybody is. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Y'all be blessed, you hear?